September 11th, 2001. A day that the entire world, Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit, will never forget. About what happened to the thousands of innocent men, women, and children from New York City, the World Trade Center, American Airlines Flight 11, United Airlines Flight 175, Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, American Airlines Flight 77, Pennsylvania, and the brave, heroic men and women of United Airlines Flight 93.
On that day, there were 2,974 confirmed victims from 84 countries. The youngest victim was just 2 years old. The oldest victim, 85. Since September 11th, 2001, terrorists worldwide have carried out more than 5,801 separate and deadly terrorist attacks against the innocent people of our planet Earth.
And on September 11th, 2001, there were 3,251 children who lost a parent. And this show from Johnny and I is dedicated to all of them and everyone whose lives were changed forever by that day. They will never be forgotten.
Ever.
Hi, my name is Simon Gray, and I am one of the co-owners of AboveTopSecret.com. I live in the United Kingdom. My first realization of the beginning of a series of tragic events on September 11th, 2001 was just after about 1 p.m. local time. I was sitting at my desk on a seemingly typical workday. I had overheard a woman in my department telling someone else that the World Trade Center was on fire. I immediately moved to her direction and started listening to what she had to say. Confused recollections of what others had heard started to fill the office as normal activities suddenly came to a standstill. Anyone in the office with internet access quickly went online in search of news. Over the course of about 20 minutes, from my first overhearing my colleague, to hearing that it was in fact a plane crash that caused the fire in the North Tower, to the sudden shock of discovering a second plane that had now hit the South Tower, it became suddenly apparent something was very wrong. I was shocked and I didn't know what to do. It was impossible to sit down and focus on anything else. About an hour later, rumors started to circulate that a missile or third plane had hit the Pentagon. For the next few hours, I sat anxiously on edge, waiting for the time to edge closer and closer to 5 so that I could rush home and turn on the TV. It took me less than 5 seconds to rush in the house and immediately flick to Sky News. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at recorded footage of the towers burning. It didn't seem real. I knew that this had happened, but I just couldn't comprehend it. It must have been at least a few hours before I first moved away from the TV, flicking from Sky to CBS, CNN, any channel that showed something I hadn't seen before. I remember watching the same scenes of the second plane hitting the South Tower, different channels showing the same impact from different angles. I remember watching the collapse of the towers. I couldn't believe the reality of the innocent people losing their lives right in front of the whole world. Even a couple days ago, I was watching a documentary about a group of New York firefighters at the scene. The show was initially a reality show concept following a rookie during his induction training, but became something so much more when the cameraman captured some of the most recognizable footage of the American Airlines plane smashing into the North Tower. Years after the tragedy still has the same effect. I can feel myself fighting back emotions, but no matter how horrible the events of the day, I managed to bring a smile by watching the heroic actions of the people of New York and their love for their city and its citizens.
Hey, this is Mark. 9/11. I remember I got up, and like I do every morning, I logged on to CNN.com to get the latest headlines. There was this small picture of smoke coming out of the World Trade Center tower and a headline that said, "Small aircraft hits Trade Center tower. More information to follow," or something to that effect. And I remember thinking that, wow, man, you really got to be a totally screwed up pilot to run into those two huge towers over New York City, over Manhattan. I mean, I couldn't fathom how anybody could accidentally hit it. Now, I did recall back in the 40s or 30s that a guy accidentally hit the Empire State Building, but aircraft were a whole lot less controllable back then. I think there was weather issues and other things. This day was clear blue, beautiful Manhattan day. I remember I got in the car, headed to the office. By the time I got to the office, it was already being widely speculated that it was not a small aircraft. It was, in fact, an airliner, and that it appeared to have been intentional. Well, that made complete sense to me because, again, I couldn't imagine how, you know, a pilot could mistakenly run into one of the great World Trade Center towers. For the rest of the morning, it was really surreal. We had TVs down in the gym in the bottom floor of our office building, and there were literally dozens, if not 100 people, gathered down in the workout room watching the TVs. We had TVs over the, like, treadmills and the stationary bicycles. Obviously, they were turned around to face out in the bigger part of the floor, and it was just silence. All these people standing there with their jaws hanging open, fear in their eyes. And this, of course, was, I should have mentioned, was in Dallas, Texas, by the way. My office was right next to Addison Airport, which is one of, if not the busiest municipal airport in the country. It's one of the busiest, and there were no planes. After they grounded everybody, no planes. Dallas-Fort Worth Airport is one of the busiest in the country. I'll just never forget walking outside where typically there would be dozens of aircraft in the sky headed for Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, and then several smaller commuter planes in the sky landing literally a block behind my office building. There was nothing, silence. As the day progressed and the news really came out and we learned of all the deaths and just the horridness of the situation, it was a life-changing event. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. To this day, I still don't know what really happened. And that's part of the reason why I'm involved to the extent that I am with AboveTopSecret.com. I'm very quiet in the 9/11 forums. I'm practically non-existent, and that's because I just can't deal with the ugliness. It doesn't mean I'm not interested, and it doesn't mean that I'm not doing everything I can in the back channels to find the truth behind what really happened on 9/11. I think Jim Mars will attest to that in the many long conversations we've had about the subject on the telephone. But in any case, that's where I was, and that's what I was thinking, and that's what I experienced.
I'm sure there's a lot that people are going to talk about and have talked about for the past 6 years as they relate to events of that day. I'm going to touch upon two things that stick in my mind the most about the events after the attack. And the first is the change, or at least brief change, in attitude of New Yorkers. You know, a lot of people think New Yorkers are gruff and abrupt and even outright rude, but it really is a function of an attitude of forced anonymity because of the huge crowd, especially in the island of Manhattan. You almost have to be that way to get by living in Manhattan. It's not necessarily that we're mean or rude, it's just that's the way it is. But that anonymity faded away for, at least really intensely, for the first few weeks after the attacks and for a couple of months afterwards, where the attitude of the city amongst city dwellers really changed intensely, where we were looking at each other, walking by each other in Central Park and on the sidewalks. We were looking at each other and nodding, and there was, you know, the anonymity faded away because, you know, the looks in the eyes of people I saw, and probably the look in my eye as well, was, what the hell just happened? Do you know? Do you know why this happened? I mean, we were searching for answers. And that's really the best explanation I can think of at this point for the expression I was seeing on people's faces in New York City. And that's a really unique thing that happened. And part of that also is the second thing, where there were genuine bits of skepticism throughout the city about what we were being told in the news as to the cause and the people behind this attack. You know, New York City is a hodgepodge of people from all over the world, and we get that perspective in New York like no other city in America. And, you know, the people in the offices, people from other countries working in our office, people in the building from other countries, you know, we'd be talking in the lobby, we'd be talking outside the building quite a bit. And there was, you know, for the first month, I'd say, a lot of talk and a lot of real skepticism about the story behind 9/11. It wasn't the conspiracy theory kind of skepticism that everything has developed into now, but it really was a concern that there's more to the story and we're not hearing it. And that really did exist in New York among New Yorkers, I'd say, for a solid month after the attacks. And then, as mainstream media, as we all know, took over the story, that skepticism faded away. But it really did exist, and I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers will concur and remember that was the case.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Lombozo, a forum moderator. I, for one, can recall exactly that morning. At the time, I owned a bakery/deli, and I was in the back baking bread, getting ready for the lunch rush. The breakfast rush had pretty much just ended, but usually some of the people from the front would come back and forth filling up bagel trays, salad trays, or anything else that was running low. Usually there was a lot of noise coming from the front. You know, we had a great atmosphere. It was real loose. Almost every customer was on a first-name basis, and we always joked around and you know, sang and everything else. Anyway, for a little while, I noticed that there was absolutely no commotion coming from the front. So I walked out front just to see what was going on. We had a little sitting area, had about 15 tables and a little TV for the customers that wanted to sit and eat. I'll never forget what I saw when I came out front. Approximately 30 people, you know, including all my employees, they were huddled around the TV. By now, the second tower had been hit and reports of people jumping were being aired. One of the many police officers who came in every day, he was a mountain of a man who I nicknamed Big Steve. He's well over 6 feet. He's built like Schwarzenegger and one of the toughest sons of guns I've ever met. Anyway, he was standing watching the TV with tears falling down his cheeks. I'll never forget that. I stood riveted. You know, the horror, the disbelief I initially felt, it turned quickly into rage. I wanted to know who was behind this and what were we going to do about it to make it right. You know, it was eerie. It was truly eerie. With the exception of the TV, the room, who had about 40 people in it now, was dead silent. You know, nobody moved. You just sat and watched the TV. I remember the shock gasps as the towers fell. You know, personally speaking, I haven't shed so many tears as I did that day since I was a three-year-old kid. You know, I was never so glad to go home and kiss my wife and tell her that I loved her. That's pretty much what I remember. You know, I also remember that for the next several months, you know, things were completely different. The Star Spangled Banner, you know, became almost holy. You know, people would put their hands on their hearts and you get misty. You know, it was great. It was proud and cool to say, God bless America. You know, and that Thanksgiving never had so much meaning. The holiday period was exceptionally beautiful. I don't know. It was a very horrible day, and I remember it very, very clearly. It's one of those events that you'll always, always be able to answer when somebody says, where were you and what were you thinking?
This is the Big O from the boards calling about 911 experience. I remember it was in college. It was I went to college at University of Central Florida, and it's hot in September. It stays hot through really the beginning of October. While going to school full-time, I had a part-time job at the credit union. I was a teller there. And I remember I was in class that morning before I started, and somebody had said a plane flew into the trade tower. We all assumed it was a prop plane or, you know, a Cessna that had bumped into it, some idiot who'd flown off course. And that was kind of the joke, you know, what kind of an idiot pilot flies into a building that big? And I went into work at 10, and I remember seeing people coming in, and they looked upset. We didn't have the radio on. We didn't usually listen to the music. And then somebody came in and said an airliner hit the towers. And then another person came in and said they were shutting campus down and everybody had to leave. So I left, and I went where everybody was going, which was to the student union, which was just down from where the bank branch was. And I walked in right as the second tower was collapsing, and they had set up a television projector. And it was on a 20-foot screen that I watched that the second tower go down live, and that was my first image of 9/11. And I remember thinking, this is the start of World War III. I never thought I would see World War III. I went back to my fraternity house, and a lot of the guys were upset. A couple people with family that were in the military, nobody really knew what was going on all day. It took till around noon or 12:30 that I remembered my mother was supposed to fly to Israel that day. So she was going to Israel with her church group for some, she does like missionary work or whatever. She's not Jewish, she's Christian, and I don't know, they had some church thing they were doing there or whatever. I remember finally remembering that she was going to be over there, so I called, and she said she was okay. Their flight never got off the ground. They had halted all flights by then. But it was the first time in my life I can actually say I was really scared. Never until that day and never really since that day have I truly felt terrified.
Hi, this is Above Top Secret Super Moderator, Don't Tread on Me, and these are my recollections of 9/11. I was at work when it happened. Some folks were on the internet and saw the first plane hit the World Trade Center. No one knew what to make of it, and folks started calling home. I called my husband, who filled me in. He had the TV on and watched it live and told me about the second plane hitting. I remember shock and not being able to fathom what was happening. It was so unreal. Driving home that day, I remember the silence as so few cars were on the road. I guess everyone was glued to their TV sets watching the horror unfold. We lived near the Windsor-Detroit border, and I remember hearing the planes constantly flying by during this time. It was so eerie to hear military planes flying over the U.S. border. Years later, it's still unbelievable to me.
Hi, this is Forum Moderator Elevated One. Here's my memory of September 11th. I was in my office preparing for a conference call with our Boston office. My boss and I were on hold, waiting for everyone to come into the room and get on the call. One of our coworkers walked by and said, "An airplane just hit the World Trade Center." My first thought was, "What a terrible accident." I then asked, "What is the weather like today in New York?" wondering if that had anything to do with it. So the conference call starts, and the people in our Boston office are talking about the events. When they get quiet and tell us that it just came across the radio that another plane has hit the World Trade Center. I was in total shock. I didn't know what to think. After a few moments of speculation, we decided to carry on with the call and go on about our business. And after being on the phone for a while, the report of the Pentagon attack came in. At this moment, I was really upset, and I immediately thought about all the victims of these incidents. My boss then decides to cut the call short. She wanted to call our New York office and make sure everyone was okay. A coworker from our office was actually in New York that day. Everyone in the office spent the next few hours around the TV and on the radio taking everything in and talking. I don't remember who said it first, but the word attack was brought up, and that's when it sort of hit home. We were under attack. The rest of the day was very strange. No one was really saying much, just sitting around. My boss finally got through to our New York office, and just before going home at 5 o'clock, we had verified that everyone from our company was safe and that they were actually going to keep our office open all night, having our elevator technicians ready to assist in any way they could. Later that night, once I was home, I just kept watching all the news footage and trying to take it in. I was very sad and at the same time very angry. I pray for all the families and friends who lost loved ones that day. I hope that the innocent people who lost their lives may rest in peace. God bless.
I'm the benevolent tyrant, a forum moderator here at AboveTopSecret.com. Like many others, I'm sure I have a very clear recollection of that fateful day, September 11th, 2001. I remember being able to sleep in that morning. It was a Tuesday, and I didn't have to go to work that day, so I planned on taking it easy, you know, just a day to putter around the house, get a few jobs done, otherwise relax. Typically, when I get up, I always flip on the radio or turn on the TV. I like to get caught up on the news stories of the day and to hear the sports scores, but for some reason that morning, I didn't. I just shuffled around the house drinking some of the lousy coffee that I managed to make, and, well, I thought about all the things that I planned on doing that day. About 9:45, a good friend of mine called me from work. I remember thinking how odd it was that Steve, my friend, would call. His voice was sort of panicked, excited, serious. It was different. He simply said, "Turn on your television now." To tell you the truth, I don't remember any more of that phone conversation. I don't even remember hanging up. I just turned on the TV, and the first image that I saw was of smoke pouring out of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. It was a sight that left me, well, dumbfounded. I didn't quite comprehend what was going on. Just about then, the first tower suddenly collapsed. I don't recall what ran through my head. It was in a state of shock. I couldn't register what I was seeing. It made no sense. I just stood there, coffee in hand, watching the images on the TV. I saw people running, stampeding, fleeing as a big cloud of smoke billowed down the streets. It was incomprehensible. Remember that at that point, I still didn't even know what had happened. All I knew was that something unimaginable had taken place, and I was seeing it live. A moment, I couldn't feel anything. I was physically numb. My mind was blank. Nothing made sense. I simply watched the TV. The sights and sounds of that morning were being broadcast into my home and into my reality. A few moments later, the second tower simply fell. At this time, some of the news commentary had sort of entered my consciousness, and some tape of a plane striking the second tower made me realize that this had not been an accident. This had been a deliberate act. Someone had attacked the World Trade Center. Somebody had attacked the U.S. Somebody had changed everything. Felt that nothing would ever be the same again. At that point, I realized that I'd been crying. My face was wet with my own tears. I still cry when I think about that day. I still cry when I think about what I had seen. Nothing was ever going to be the same, and at that moment the world had changed, and I think I cried for us all. Anyways, that was my September 11th.
It's anxiety disorder from AboveTopSecret.com. The morning of September 11th, I was sitting in my truck waiting for a load of steel in Oakville, Ontario, up in Canada. I heard the first report of a plane hitting the World Trade Center on an all-news station just after the fact, and I walked into the warehouse to ask if anyone else had heard. No one had heard anything at that point, so I went back to my truck. I just sat there to wait for a call to have the steel loaded. Then the second plane hit, and I knew this was something much bigger. Dropped my paperwork with the dispatcher and said the load would have to wait. I couldn't work after that point. So I left the yard, and I headed back to drop off my truck, and I just felt that this was going to be something that was going to get worse. It was about the time that I was docking my truck where I was based out of that the Pentagon was hit. And I clocked out for the day. The dispatcher, he was pretty upset, but my family was more important to me at that time than a load of steel pipe. I just said, you can fire me if you want, but something is going on, and I really need to get home. By the time I reached the house, my husband had already left his work and made it home. We started calling family and friends nearby just to confirm meeting places if things got worse. You know, we checked around to verify the location of children in the family, you know, just to make sure everyone was in touch with everyone else. After that, it was just sit and wait, watch the news, listen to the radio. We sat there. We were totally ready to bug out if needed, but we just sat glued to the TV, and I think we had two radios going just to hear alternate, like, news sources, you know, just to make sure that things weren't getting worse. But I'll tell you, it was a very bad morning for all of us. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if it was going to escalate. We just tried to be as prepared as possible. That was my morning of September 11th.
Yes, my username is Dale Gribble. I was in college at the time. I'd been in the military for about 6 months. And awkwardly enough, I didn't know about it at the time, but my cell phone started ringing in class. I looked at the number and recognized that it was my command and decided it must be pretty important. So I exited the room, and I was told to report to my duty station in full combat gear with all my clothes on, all my equipment. Upon arrival to the Army base, we were issued our weapons with live ammunition, and shortly thereafter we were briefed on the situation that happened. As far as my feelings go, I remember being pissed more than scared or worried. But that was my thought.
Hi, this is Intrepid. I remember exactly where I was when I heard this news. I was at work. It's the afternoon, 2-ish, and people were saying that the World Trade Center was brought down by planes. And you know, we were thinking, oh come on, this is gonna be bullshit. But the news kept coming in. The news kept coming in on the radio. I kept thinking, gotta get out of here. Gotta get home. See it on TV to see what's going on. And a couple hours later, that did happen. And I saw it on the TV, and I'm thinking, did Spielberg do this? This just looks so surreal. I mean, the thoughts of how it would change the world didn't even come into play at the time. It just looked like, well, isn't this a movie? Then more and more kept coming in, and it became obvious, no, this ain't a freaking joke. But the only good thing that came up from that day was is the death toll kept coming down. They were saying tens of thousands of people, and, you know, 3,000 plus people did die, but that's, you know, better than tens of thousands of people. And I didn't even see how it was going to change the world. I don't think any of us did. It was just mind-boggling. That's all I have to say. It was really a totally surreal day.
I post under the name JProfit420. I'd like to leave some of my thoughts. On that morning, I was working in Phoenix, Arizona. I was working for the Intel Corporation, manufacturing microprocessors. I worked the night shift, so my shift ended at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is approximately 2 hours difference because there is no daylight savings time in Arizona. So it's 2 hours behind East Coast time. As I left the building, got into my car, as I did every morning, I listened to National Public Radio pretty much religiously. It's the only radio station I ever had on, and the news was on that morning. There had been many Palestinian suicide bombings, and I really wasn't in the mood to listen to the news, and that was what it appeared to be whenever I first turned the channel on. The gentleman that was speaking had a Middle Eastern accent. He was describing a bombing, and I was actually had my hand on the knob to turn it off whenever I deciphered that it was actually in New York City and not the Gaza Strip. So, of course, I left the radio on and listened intently. My ride home lasted about 15 minutes, and I didn't have television at that time, so I wanted to get the inside scoop as to what was going on. So I went into my apartment, and I logged on to MSNBC.com, and that's whenever I got the initial news scoop. By the time I had got into the apartment and put on the news on the Internet, the second plane had hit, and it was obvious that it was not an accident. So as I was watching that news clip, the webpage wouldn't refresh because there were so many people on the Internet, so I really had no way of getting any news. So I logged on to the game Half-Life, and I was trying to play a round of the game, but I couldn't because everyone was talking and no one was playing, chatting, of course. And I noticed in the chat that after a while, that's when the Pentagon had been hit, and I was talking to the people about that. And at that point in time, I started to panic. I really thought it was World War III, which obviously, hindsight is 2020. It was certainly the beginning, but I thought that all hell was going to break loose. I lived in a major city, and it was in the middle of the desert, and there was no way that I could get enough water and fuel to transport my family to someplace safe. I assumed that there was going to be a similar attack in every major city, and considering the work I did, I worked at the factory that produced the most computer chips in the world, and I assumed that that would be the target, so I was very scared. I managed to get back onto the Internet and review the news on MSNBC about the Pentagon attack, and then nothing happened. I stayed up rather late into the afternoon to find out what was going to happen, and whenever I determined it was safe, I had work that evening, so I went to sleep so that I could go to work. Whenever I went to work that evening, it was not required that anybody actually go to work. It's such a huge corporation. There's 90,000 people approximately at that time worldwide, and so a lot of families, a lot of people had family members from New York, and of course I was one of those people, so I didn't actually go into work that night. I went into the cafeteria, and they had the news on, and of course they had the announcement that if you had family that was in New York, you didn't have to work. You got a free day off. And so I took that free day off, and before I left the factory, we sat around and talked about it.
This is Leroy. On 9/11, I was in English class at Middle Tennessee State University below Nashville. And I was a little late to class, and the whole class was gathered, although the teacher wasn't there, which was strange because I was thinking I'd be chided for being late. But when I got in, and I often wonder if I noticed if anything weird was going on around me as I walked in, but I don't remember anything being strange, but it was early enough, and I'd just woken up, that I wouldn't have noticed. As I sat down, the girl next to me said, "Did you hear the World Trade Center fell down?" And I said, "That's impossible. There's two." And she said, "Yes, they both fell down." So that's really weird. I just kind of sat there. She didn't explain any more. She didn't even talk about the airplanes. So I was just kind of confused sitting there. Finally, after about 20 minutes, the teacher came in. She'd been watching TV and with the other teachers in the lounge. And she said the World Trade Centers have been destroyed and the Pentagon's been hit. Well, my dad works in the Pentagon, so I immediately stood up and started to walk out of the room. And she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home because I've got to contact my father who works in the Pentagon." And she said, "Well, we're having class." I said, "I'm not having class." So as I left, the whole school was streaming out. There were thousands and thousands of people. There's 30,000 people at this school, and they're all streaming out into the parking lot. And I went home, and all the phone lines were tied up. I couldn't get a hold of anyone. Finally, I tried this call home number I had, like a toll-free 1-800 number my parents had given me. And that went right through. And fortunately, my father had been on the way into work when he heard on the radio what had happened. And turned around and came right back. The Pentagon announced right before, or September 10th, that they'd lost several $1 trillion. I think the number was $2 or $3 trillion. The area that was hit was the accounting department, and he's an accountant at the Pentagon. He lost a lot of friends. Something strange he mentioned, and I can't prove it, but he said that some of the friends he lost were on the plane that hit the Pentagon, even though they work in that section of the Pentagon So I guess they would have died either way. Guess that's about all I have to say about it, except something funny. When I got home and I woke up one roommate, and we walked over to the TV where my other roommate was playing a video game, and I said, turn on the news. There's something going on. And he turned it on, and he watched it for about 5 minutes. We sat there and watched it. Just our mouths were agape, and then he turned around and said, can I turn my video game back on? And we just kind of looked at him like, you're a freak, man, but sure, go ahead. So he turned his video game back on.
Hi, this is Masqua. I was sitting in a cafeteria at a nuclear power station up here in Ontario when a fella came running up and he said, guess what? And we didn't believe him at first when he told us what had happened. But pretty soon, got the transistor radio going and started listening to what was going on. And we were all pretty shocked. Now, we were sitting around a table at this cafeteria, coffee shop, and there's these huge windows facing south. And I got to tell you, we were pretty much watching out those windows for the next couple hours. And even though a lot of guys wanted to go home because they were pretty scared, I don't think anybody really did. We stuck it out. But it was a pretty frightening experience, I got to tell you. Anyways, that's how it happened to me. I still can't believe the way that whole deal went down. It's just a terrible loss of life. And when I got home and watched the video replays of it, it's just unbelievable, like something in a movie or something. I just couldn't get over the fact that this was really happening. It took me a few days to kind of get my head around the idea that this was an actual event.
My name is Justin Oldham. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. On Tuesday, September 11th of 2001, I had just gotten out of bed at 6:05 a.m. when the phone rang. The person who called was my editor. She was panicked. The time difference between Washington, D.C. and Alaska is 4 hours. The events, which we're all familiar with, had already happened. She was frantic and shrill, and it really was hard to understand what she was talking about. At first, I thought somebody had broken into her apartment and she was calling for help. That caused my adrenaline to spike. She eventually calmed down enough to say, turn on the TV, turn on the TV. For God's sake, just turn on the television. I got into my sweats and sat down on the couch with my running shoes, picked up the remote and turned on the TV. The first newscast that I flipped over to was concentrating on the Pentagon. I really wasn't sure exactly what I'd seen. Then the coverage switched back over to the Trade Center. I was totally shocked. There's just no other way to say it. In the same way that I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing when I first heard about the Challenger explosion and then later again the loss of Shuttle Columbia, I remember where I was and what I was doing at the time I got the news of the September 11 attacks. I was angry, and I won't deny it. I had writer's block for a week. My reaction to that event played some role in my eventual introduction to ATS. The funny thing is, if it hadn't been for Osama bin Laden, I wouldn't have made certain literary choices, and you wouldn't be hearing my voice.
Hi, this is Doc Moreau. My uncle worked at the World Trade Center. I didn't know which building he worked at, and as soon as much of America and the world found out about the initial plane striking the building, we, were tuned in and watching the second plane strike in horror. Of course, at that point, it's a situation of gloom and doom, not knowing where my uncle is, if he was okay or what. And so I was watching the newscast, switching from channel to channel all day long, trying to maybe catch a glimpse of him amongst the crowd, somebody that looks like him. And of course, I didn't see him that day. And the phone lines were tied up all over America trying to reach the East Coast. So there was, no word. So I, stayed home from work and was watching the footage all day. And there were numerous things that occurred during the live portions of the feeds that, many of which have since, come to light. That even that first day I wondered why the third building number 7, fell down at all. So mostly it was that event that started me on the path of having my own conspiracy theories and becoming a conspiracy theorist. Forgot to mention that my uncle is alive and well today. He was in building number 2 when it comes to the planes, the way that they were struck into the building, and apparently his floor would have been one of the floors. I'm not sure exactly which floor he was on, but he decided that after the initial initial World Trade Center bombing in 93, that if anything like that ever happened again, he was going home. So he walked from the World Trade Center over the Brooklyn Bridge into Brooklyn, and I believe walked all the way to his home in Staten Island because of all of the, you know, lockdowns and stuff that were going on, the traffic difficulties that day. So yeah, he's still alive. So I didn't mean to, you know, have a, you know, a story that didn't end or sounded scary or sad. He was one of the lucky ones.
This is the River Goddess calling in, and I'm trying not to cry. I'm recalling 9/11 clearly, as my job on the day of 9/11 was as a lost luggage delivery person for the Salt Lake City Airport, and I had that job for a couple of years and was enjoying it a lot, and I get up early and call in on the radio, and the dispatcher was, don't come in, turn on the TV. And I turned on the TV and just was watching things unfold. It was just amazing. When the first building went down, I just sat there and I was crying, and I just seemed to be able to feel a great loss of life leaving planet Earth. And with each different situation unfolding, with Flight 93 and with the Pentagon, I just was positive that World War III must be starting. This was the beginning of it. This was going to be the downfall of us all. I'm glad that I was wrong. I still hold that day as very scary and poignant in my life. My job was taken over by the federal government, and I, of course, am not a federal government employee, so I lost my job on 9/11. So I was somewhat of a victim clear across the country in Utah. I didn't lose my life or any family members, and I just bleed for those that did. And here comes 9/11 to be remembered, and my heart still goes out to all the families that are trying to cope to this day. God bless us all. Let's hope we never have to live through anything like that again.
This is Rick Riley calling from Fort Myers, Florida. I had an experience on 9/11. I was working in the distribution center at the world headquarters at Chico's. It's now a billion-dollar company. Scott, the president, after the initial hit of the first plane, called a meeting of all the employees out front and said, we're going to let you go home. You need to be with your families. And I thought that was great that he did that. And when I got home, the second plane had hit, and my wife and I are sitting there bawling our eyes out, what's happening? That we couldn't believe what was happening. It was in total disbelief. Later on, I got to talk to my brother. He was in D.C., Washington, D.C. He was looking out the window. He was doing a meeting on communications, and he could see the Pentagon burning, and he's talking to Rusty, my nephew, in New York City, and he's watching the Twin Towers burn, and they're both communicating, and both of them are in just total shock, as we were. When I got home, I wrote this poem, and this is my feelings that day. It was called American 9/11. Where our precious freedom still proudly rings. When the dust settled, our mighty eagle still had its wings. For many have paid the price for which it stands, and united as Americans, we must all join hands to keep alive the spirit of America's heart, as every American does their special part. Our answer to those who do us harm, don't tread on me, we sound the alarm. That's what happened to me on 9/11.
Santa Maria, Santa Teresa, Santa Anna, Santa Susanna, Santa Cecilia, Santa Coppelia, Santa Domenica, Mary Angelica, Frater Ashet,
Ah, but then you'd miss the view.